Okay, we're on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Thank you, everybody, for coming in spite of the weather. So, this is what you have to remember here. This is hard. This is like I had a hard time absorbing this. You have to memorize the Mishnah first of all. The facts of the Mishnah first. Memorize that. The Mishnah starts off: Peiros Chutz La'aretz that come into Eretz Yisrael is Chayav and Kala. No machlokes. Cross the board. Peiros chutz la'aretz come into Eretz Yisrael, chayav and kala. What happens with peiros that go from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz? So that, not so mikan l'sham. So the Mishnah quoted a machlokes. Reb Lezer is machayev, and Reb Akiva paiter. Okay, so those are the only two cases in the Mishnah. Either peiros came from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or they came from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. There's no other case. The case that must be obvious to everybody is the two end cases. Peiros that grew in Chutz La'aretz and remained in Chutz La'aretz, obviously, batel according to everybody. Peiros that were in Eretz Yisrael and remained in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, chayav according to everybody, right? Peiros that came from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, apparently everybody holds as chayav, right? That's what it starts off with. So now the Gemara starts off with this. So you got this in your head? Okay. So the Gemara says, Ksiv. It says in the Pasuk, El Oretz Hashanai Mea Eskam Shavu. Shavu Atem Chayovim, In Atem Chayovim Chutz La'aretz. So the question is, what is the Gemara trying to explain here? It's not clear. The Gemara is not so clear. So the first part of it, Shoma Atem Chayovim, that is explaining L'chara, the first statement of the Mishnah. That there in Eretz Yisrael, Yechayev, even if you bring Peiros from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, apparently that's the first statement of the Mishnah, that you're Yechayev and Kala. Because it says Shoma. Okay? And then the end of the Mishnah where it says, Einatam Chayavim Chutz La'aretz. So now that part, let's assume to make it so that it comes out L'kuli Alma, and it's not totally in the second Machlokas in the Mishnah, let's just assume that's talking about Peiros of Chutz La'aretz that remain in Chutz La'aretz.
Why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that? That's what the Pasuk says, because they're not there yet. If you bring from Chutz to Eretz Yisrael, that's when you're chayav. And you're chayav in Chutz La'aretz, but you're not chayav if you're outside of Eretz
Yisrael. Right, which is basically what I just said. What did you say differently than what I just said?
Because what you said was if it's growing in Eretz Yisrael and it stays there.
No, I never said that. Nope, never said that. Okay. But that's okay.
No, good.
You're good. We're both agreeing.
We're agreeing.
Okay? So the first brisa is explaining the Mishnah. Okay. Now, Tony. Now, the Gemara is going to say that the version of our Mishnah, that there is consensus on Peiros that were in Chutz La'aretz that come into Eretz Yisrael, that everybody holds as Chayiv, Zu Divrei Reb Meir. That's Reb Meir's version of the Machlokes of Akiva and Reb Elazar. But we have another version of the Machlokes where Reb Yehuda says, I will do Rabbi Huda, he holds, Peiros Chutz La'aretz, Shenichnasu La'aretz, it's a machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Elazar will hold your potter, and Rabbi Akiva holds your chayiv. So he has a different version of the first statement of the Mishnah. The first statement of the Mishnah is, Peiros Chutz La'aretz that came into Eretz Yisrael is chayiv b'chala. Rabbi Huda holds, that's not true kuliyama.
The second statement is the exact opposite.
Not worry, and let's not worry about the second statement. Let's just try to focus on what we're saying. The machlokas, there's a machlokas about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva in the first statement according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the Gemara, okay? It's reversed in the second statement. The shittas are reversed. That's why it can be confusing here. So I'm trying to keep focus over here. Rabbi Elazar holds your potter in the first case of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah's version, when it goes outside Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar holds your chayiv, and Rabbi Akiva holds your potter. So they reversed their positions, right? Okay. My time with Rabbi Elazar. So let's focus on why Rabbi Elazar holds that Peiros Chutz La'aretz that come into Eretz Yisrael are not chayev in challah, right? Or putter. Because it says in the pasuk lechem ha'aretz, that what? It will be that when you will eat of the bread of the land. Challah obligation applies exclusively to bread made from produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael. In order to be considered lechem ha'aretz, it has to be lechem that came from the peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, if you have peiros from Chutz La'aretz that came into Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar holds your potter. That's his reason. My time Rabbi Akiva, what's his reason? Because it says, again, we're going to darshan this pasuk again, this time a little differently. That when I bring you there, you're going to be chayiv and chala, regardless of where the peiros came from. Doesn't matter where it comes from. It's shamatem chayavim. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Okay, so we have lechem haaretz telling me only peiros that grew in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Elazar. We have shama, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's anything, regardless of where it came from, as long as it's made in Eretz Yisrael, shamatem chayavim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machlokes. Mamakan Rabbi Elazar, time of the Rabbi Akiva. Now Gemara's going to do the typical thing. What is each Tana going to do with the other Tana's pasuk? What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Rabbi Elazar. What's Rabbi Elazar going to do with the pasuk of Shama? El Haaretz Hashani Meiros Hashama. Says the Chavai B'Shem Rabbi Elazar. The Amora. Rabbi Hila B'Shem Rishon Ben Lakish. All these different people. Kach Meishiv Rabbi Akiva es Rabbi Elazar. So they expand, okay, they expand the conversation. So instead of giving a direct answer, we're going to have another issue with where Rabbi Akiva is asking another question. Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Elazar a following question. At Maideli B'Shar Shenichnasu Yisrael La'aretz U'matzu Kamachim U'Tzekes. Do you not agree with me what? When Klai Yisrael came out of the Midbar, came into Eretz Yisrael, and they found bread, they found flour growing, they found all kinds of stuff, are you not going to agree with me that they're chayav in challah? Apparently, he's making an assumption everybody's going to agree to this. This is Rabbi Akiva's assumption. Let's not worry about how he knows that for the time being. Let's just accept it. Okay? Don't you agree that everything they found when they came to Eretz Yisrael is chayav and challah? Surely you do, right?
Why wouldn't you?
Okay.
Even though it's from a guy?
Let's just hold on. So why do you exempt imported... Let's not worry about that problem. Lachari, you're going to have to hold that he holds that they don't have a kinyan to be mafkia or something like that. But you're right in terms of that if the guy made the batter, so if the shaskiyav is the batter, so he should be potter because the isas nachri should be potter from the kala. Yeah. I'm not getting involved in that. It says the flowers and the flowers. So as far as kmachim is concerned, we have no problem, right? That for sure you understand. Right. That the flowers, that means the yidden came in and made dough out of the flour that they found there. That's a little easier to hear. And then it says the doughs.
Right.
So before it had kedushas there.
Before they came into Eretz Yisrael.
It wasn't brought in from the outside.
No, they found it there.
They found it there, but okay. So
it didn't have kedushas Eretz Yisrael when it was made.
So that's Rabbi Akiva's deal.
Rabbi Akiva is making an assumption that they were chayav and challah. Okay, let's go on. Certainly you do. Why then, so this is his question, why do you exempt imported produce from the challah obligation? Rabbi Elazar is saying if it came from Eretz Yisrael, if it came from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, that it's potter. Right? Rabbi Akiva is Machayev. but Rav Elazar held it was potter. So what's the difference between finding flour there and making it into, which presumably that flour was equivalent to Chutz La'aretz because it didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael when it was produced, right? So, V'lav Gidulei P'tur Heim, that's the Lashon here. Weren't the flowers and dose found upon entering Eretz Yisrael exempted growths? Yet, they were processed, since they were processed, meaning, again, Rabbi Kiva's Shita is, I didn't say this yesterday, but there's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta that says Rabbi Kiva's Shita is that we go bosser the tanur, we go after the place where the bread is baked. As soon as you have cremas, I forget what it's called, the browning of the top of the bread. I think it's called crema. Well, whatever it is. The crusting of the top of the bread. That's what Rabbi Kiva's Shita is. So that's called processed.
Yeah.
What?
You never have a showing, challah, because they have to break it after it's baked?
That's a good question. You could, and you'll be mafkia all the rest of them. You're right. That one won't be shown. Okay. So yet, since they were processed after the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael, they were subject to challah. In the same vein, produce that grew outside Eretz Yisrael should be subject to challah obligation when it's imported and processed into Eretz Yisrael. For whom a kavo minei. Rabbi Eliezer did not respond to this question, from which we may derive. Now, there's two approaches here. Let's take the simplest approach. That he is Maida. He said that that's a kaka, a good kasha. That's why our Mishnah doesn't have a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda recorded a machlokas, but after this conversation, Rabbi Kiva had this field goal. Kasha, which destroyed Rabbi Elazar's position from this kasha, right?
That's one option. The other option.
Footnote 19, it says both. It says, he did not, however, retract his ruling based on this question. And he quotes from different people. And there are others who say that because of the question, he actually retracted. So this seems to be Machlokes Mefarshim. It seems to be Machlokes in the Mefarshim whether he retracted on the basis of this question or not. Okay? That's a Machlokes. Okay. Let's read the next paragraph inside. Let's see. Now, the fact that Rav Elazar accepted Rav Akiva's question is clear that he agrees with Rav Akiva's presumption that the flowers and those found upon Eretz Yisrael were subject to the challah obligation. Why so? Although he did not derive an obligation concerning imported produce from the word shamah, he does derive an obligation concerning flowers and those upon Eretz Yisrael from that extra word. So the previous question of the Gemara, how he explained the verse, is answered. So basically what he's saying is like this. The Gemara asked the question on Rav Elazar. Right? Remember, we start off with a question. What is Rabbi Elazar going to do with Rabbi Kiva's pasuk of Shama? So now, what he's suggesting here in this paragraph is that from this conversation of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva, where Rabbi Kiva is asking him a question, he's saying, don't you agree that the flour that they found when they came into Eretz Yisrael from Eber HaYarden, that that's Chayev and Challah? And he did not respond to that, which means he agreed with that. Why did he agree with that? Maybe that's what he uses Shama for. He and Taka will continue to hold that Peres Chutz La'aretz that comes into Eretz Yisrael will Taka be Potter. But what will he use Rabbi Kiva's Shama for? That the things that you find there when we cross the Yarden are going to be Chayiv. Okay, that's why is that going to be? I don't know, that'll be the question. Now, I'm Rabbi Yossi, to Mehania, Rabbi Kiva, Moisef S. Reb Eliezer. I'm amazed. He accepted this question. This is not a good question. There's a big difference between the Peiris that were in Eretz Yisrael when they came over Me'eva Hayani. What's the difference? Tamon, over there, Achelon Nichusullah Lamafreya Yarshu. That Upon entering Eretz Yisrael, there was a din. It's like, you know, it's a lumdash hachnosa to Eretz Yisrael. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, l'mafreya, it was ours. Why? Because of Huna says, b'shem Rishon and Nachman, the pasuk doesn't say l'zaracha etein es haaretz hazois. Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram l'zaracha nasati. I gave it already. Okay. So ain't lazarcha etein enksiv kan elazarcha nasati. Past tense kfar nasati. I've already given it to you. In other words, from the time of the bris of Ben Absalom, let's say. I think that's what's referring to. So since it belonged to them before they arrived in Eretz Yisrael, so the flowers and does that they found upon arriving had enough kedusha that it could be mechayev them in challah. So that's a big difference. So it's much different. If something grew in Chutz Laretz and came in Eretz Yisrael, so it grew completely shalom b'kedusha. But the stuff that they find in Eretz Yisrael when they cross over the Yarden, l'mafrei it's niskala that this is all our land. This land is my land, your land. It's from Avraham Avinu it has a kedusha. So that's no comparison.
So if a guy makes dough from a Jew's flour.
I can't, again, you're asking the same question again. I can't address the question of the guy.
I'm trying to answer it.
No.
I want to answer it.
Oh, you're answering it? Oh, what's your answer?
Yeah, because if a Jew makes challah
let's address the dough case. Where we found the dough made by the goyim.
Right. So the guy made the dough, but it was the Jew's flour and water that he used. So therefore, it's the guy even fella.
First of all, first of all, he doesn't. The Jews don't own it. No, we don't say we own it. It's not.
Yes.
We don't own the flour. No. Nasati means he gave us the land. But if a guy grows stuff on the land that he produces it, it's his.
No,
he owns it.
Right.
What do you mean? You don't agree with that?
I agree with Reb Dovid, not with you.
You think that the guy doesn't own it?
Okay, in summary, take a look.
Yeah.
Read that.
In summary?
Yeah,
Reb Dovid, I know you like to read the summaries.
Yeah, no.
So footnote 24.
Yeah, not the whole thing, but the bottom. Two novelties, two chidushim emerge. First, that mere ownership of Eretz Yisrael by the Jews created a level of sanctity that is sufficient to subject produce that grew there to the challah obligation.
That's what I just said.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
So what are you saying?
No, listen carefully.
I am.
I'm not saying, we're arguing about this point. The point is whether I own it. The mominus. I do not. What I'm finding is that the stuff that the goyim grew and they made and they produced with the sweat of their brow, we don't own that.
It had a kedusha.
It had a kedusha because of the sati. I'm asking that there's a kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, l'mafreya.
So there's a halal obligation.
How could there be a halal obligation? So now that's what I want to tell. That's what I want to tell him, that the pshat is because we're going with Shitas Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the cream as halechem is what creates the chiyuv. So therefore, even though it was nisgalgel aydei goyim, that I'm trying to explain the case of the dough, because we're having a trouble with that. Because normally we say that if it's nisgalgel aydei goyim, that it's putter. We go basa the zman hachamachayev, but here we hold, like Rabbi Akiva, we go basa cream as halechem, and I'm thinking that that's why it will become chayev and challah. I don't know for sure. So I guess.
Yeah, it's a
it's interesting. In the footnote, later on, rather, since this was produce of a sanctified Eretz Yisrael, a challah obligation could be affected when it was needed after the majority of the Jewish people entered. Yeah, but that's if it was needed. But we mentioned those already.
Right, but you're saying in any event, if it was needed by the guy, that's never going to be.
Right.
Without the kreim achidish.
Right, without that.
If it's the needing, it has to be needed by a Jew.
According to the halachali, yeah. Halachal ma'isa, yeah.
Is that true?
Halachal ma'isa, yeah. Halachal ma'isa. We don't pass on Rebbe Akiva. We don't pass on Rebbe Akiva legabi this din of krema. Yeah, we go basa the kneading. So
if you
go ahead.
If you ask a guy to knead your dough for you, that's not before you even power.
I didn't say that. I never said that. We're talking about where it's not mine. If it's not mine and it's owned by the guy.
According to the way he explained it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's leave it. We gotta keep going.
It's unresolved.
Let's leave it alone for now. So Mama Kaim Rabbi Kiva Tanya Rabbi Eliezer. So now let's go. So we discussed Rabbi Eliezer how he learned Shama, right? So which we're saying that he used Shama to tell me that the stuff that you find when you're in Eretz Yisrael has kedusha. Now what does Rabbi Kiva do with lechem? He learned Lechem Haaretz, taught me that if you had produce that grew outside Eretz Yisrael, came into Eretz Yisrael, it's putter, because Lechem Haaretz means it has to be produce that grew from Eretz Yisrael to be Chayav and Chala. So the Gemara, Besvina Shanichas Ola Aretz. We're talking about a boat, comes into Eretz Yisrael. So now you're baking, you have an oven on the boat, and you're making the challah. So in kirmu forneha, if the outer face of the dough formed a crust. Next page, design of a base. Min hachotu lefnim. You draw the imaginary line from Akko, you know, on the north. What do you call it?
Hare Amana.
From Hare Amana down to the south there. So that goes through the water. So if the boat crosses the imaginary line before it becomes crusted, then chayeres. Then it becomes chayv and chalam. But if the krima can't happen outside of the line, whether it was west of the line, then p'tur, it's pater. Okay? So that's what he's going to do, lechem haaretz, right? That's going to limit the... So that's what we're going to learn from lechem haaretz.
How does that... There's a beautiful thing. See that on top? Thus.
Yeah.
Rabbi Eliezer uses that as a limitation. Rabbi Akiva uses it as an expansion.
That the dough that was imported into Eretz Yisrael, where it was then baked.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the expanded, yeah, right,
Shmach. Rabbi Akiva defines bread of the land as a dough that was baked into bread, forming a crust in the land. Okay. Let's keep going. Al daited the Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Now, this is the part I didn't prepare too well. Al daited the Rabbi Akiva. He svintor. He isas hagoy. Just like the rule of the ship is the same rule is with the dough of a guy that was given to a Jew as a gift. He haknas sason. So it's the rule, same rule with bringing dough that was found was found in Eretz Yisrael when they came in here. So what does that mean? Three. Their entry. It's all the same. It's all the same.
It all depends on the guy.
Okay, that's what it depends. If it's formed on the ship, then or after the dough was given from the Gentile to the Jew, or after they entered Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv and chal. Okay, that's a general principle.
It's also lechem ha'ar. It's also gishmak. You can remember it because lechem means
it becomes lechem.
Yeah.
Ma'idik hacham ha'bekim ha'bakim ha'sasam la'aretz. That's to say, Rabbi Lazar, who follows the opinion of the sages, meaning that they don't go basa krim, I think, right? They agree with Rabbi Akiva concerning dough that was found upon entry in Eretz Yisrael, shara kol halachachar krim lo, batanor. They're going to agree. Okay? Meaning that if there was a krim lo which occurred before they came into Eretz Yisrael, it will be potter. In Madra, Rabbi Kiva Masa the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva asked Rabbi Eliezer a question, whom a kalamine, and he accepted the question, assuming that what? That the stuff that we found when we came in, it was Chayev, and he was quiet. So his silence demonstrates that he agrees not only concerning unneeded flour, but also considered unbaked dough that was found. That's what I kept telling you. Okay, so I was coming to the Gemara. Probably saw it myself. Well, that would be a good reason. So now, Rabbi Yonah Bai Kumi Rabbi Yomiyah, Shashin Ephesli Yisrael Moshe Kama Lacha. Now we're going to go to another question. What about Chodesh? If we came into Eretz Yisrael and we found grain that was moist, freshly grown, Moshe Tehe Asur Mishum Chodesh, is there a din Chodesh? Amalei, Lamalei, why should it not be forbidden? Certainly it was awesome. So Ad Kedon Lecha, Afilu Yavesha, is it true even about dry standing grain from the previous year? Is that also going to be Shaykh to Chodesh? Let's say, perhaps the prohibition included only produce that was still growing at the time they came to Israel. So, since it continued to grow after the prohibition went into effect, so it became Asr. But the previous year, it wasn't growing anymore. So, that's the Parshat Shaykh. Amalei, Afilu Yavesha, Afilu Ketzura. Even dry standing, even stuff that had already been harvested, it all had the din of Chodesh on it when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So, let's see here. Did he really ask this question? There's a question over here. They ask a question about matzah. Okay, it's going to come up soon. So, Miata Filuchitim Baliya. Even wheat stored in an attic. Kachani Oimer. The Gemara asked the question. Pesach. How could they not eat matzah the first night of Pesach? So, because they came in, and according to you, everything's also because of Chodesh. So, how could we become matzah? I left Rav Yirmiyah. I regretted the fact. I could have answered him that it's different. Watch and mitzvah sase doich la mitzvah slice sase. That the mitzvah sase of eating matzah will be doich the lois sase of chadash. And that's how we get out of the problem of the matzah. So there are a bunch of problems here. Footnote 18, he mentions that it has to be the exclusive iser of the matzah has to be that if it wouldn't have been shomer, it would have become chametz. But if there's any other isurim that should have been applied to that, then you can't be yaitzah with that matzah.
It's a din in the matzah.
So he says to see the Sefer HaMikdal on that question. So there are people that ask that question. And there's another one. I believe there was another question. I thought there was another question. And just for historical purposes, the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael on the 10th day of Nisan. So, if they came in on the 10th day of Nisan, they're mamish right atot by the heter of Kodesh. But that 15th night of Pesach, they had a problem, right?
It's mamish the 15th
night. Mamish the 15th night, one night.
Because in the interim time, they still ate the mon. It says that's hamon achlu until the 16th
until
day.
Until the 16th?
Pesach. It's hamon achlu.
So you think they were yotze matzah with one?
No, for sure. That's why the kashrut is only on matzah.
You see the shalmi doesn't...
Not on what they ate. The kashrut is only on matzah.
Only on matzah, yeah.
It says hamon achlu, they said, right? No, the second kasha is also geshmak kasha. The brackets in 13, right before 14. Some don't understand Rabbi Yirmiyah, because he says all the grain is permitted.
He's asking the kasha from the Gemara, famous Gemara, Chulin Basan Nechira.
Yeah, Basan Nechira. Right?
The Gemara asks the Basan Nechira that was mutter in the Midbar when it comes in terms of Yisrael, is it mutter? To eat that, continue to eat that. Or do you say that since now we have a din shechita, that then Moshe Nechira becomes awesome?
And it's plasha to him, it says, it's plasha to Rav Yirmiyah, remain permitted even after the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael. So why would he think Chodesh, which is Asur at the moment they come in, doesn't doesn't remain asur. Well, he does say it remains asur. What's the kasha? It's actually what she does.
He's mesupak. The Gemara calling he's mesupak. He doesn't give an answer over there.
Oh, it says.
He's unsure.
Oh, he's unsure. That's the other way around.
Yeah, he's here's unsure. He's
here
unsure.
He's sure, and there he's unsure.
There's a famous rush over there. The rush asks, "What's nafgamina? Why is the Gemara Hilchos LeMashiach in question? You know, right, like, right. What's the Gemara clarity?" So the rush has a famous answer that if you had something which was mutter and then they made a new gzeira, you know, and this was like the din with drakes, you know, like let's say drakes, we were eating drakes,
Dairy Queen, Dairy Queen.
And then they came out, they said no more drakes. So the boxes of drakes that were in my closet, was I allowed to continue to eat those boxes of drakes?
Not the
first. It's totally in this shaila in Boston Ethira and Pullen. Anyway, and that's basically the sugya for now. Yud Zion. So we got through it. Baruch Hashem, we got through it.
The rain timing is perfect.
I had to come for seconds.
It's boring.
Yeah, there's a where I go every weekend.